Greeting is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we have been doing a series of sermons based on the book of Proverbs. And this afternoon we have come to the topic, wisdom regarding friendship. I would like to begin with a little story. Athos, Porthos, and Aramis are the central characters in a novel, The Three Musketeers, by Alexander Dumas. Their friendship is a significant theme throughout the book and is portrayed as a strong bond based on loyalty, trust, and mutual respect. The three musketeers meet each other when they are young and are immediately drawn to each other's courage and character. They quickly become inseparable friends and form a close bond that is strengthened by their shared experiences and adventures. Their friendship is built on a foundation of trust and loyalty. They always have each other's back, even in the face of danger, and are willing to put their own lives on the line to protect each other. They also have a great deal of respect for each other's skills, abilities, recognizing that each one brings something unique to the group. Throughout the novel, the three musketeers faced numerous challenges and obstacles, including political intrigue, betrayal, and personal tragedy. However, their friendship remains steadfast, and they continue to rely on each other for support and guidance. In the end, their friendship is tested to the limit when they are forced to fight against each other in a duel. However, in this moment of conflict, their mutual respect and loyalty shine through, and they are ultimately able to reconcile and reaffirm their bond. Overall, the friendship of Athos, Porthos, and Aramis is a central theme of the Three Musketeers and is portrayed as a strong bond based on loyalty, trust, and mutual respect that withstands the rest of time, the test of time and adversity. Now, in Proverbs 12, verse 26, it says, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them." Now, this verse right here in Proverbs 12, 26 emphasizes the importance of choosing our friends carefully and wisely. It suggests that righteous individuals are careful in selecting their friends because they understand that their companions can either support or detract from their moral and ethical principles. And the opposite is also true. Associating with those who do not share our values, our biblical values, or lead us astray can lead us down a path of moral and ethical decline. Therefore, the book of Proverbs also reminds us to be discerning and intentional in our friendships and to seek out companions who will uplift and encourage us to pursue a righteous and virtuous life. By choosing to surround ourselves with godly influences and being mindful of the impact our actions have on others, we can foster healthy and fulfilling relationships with those around us. With that as an introduction, let us see what wisdom the book of Proverbs offers us in relation to friendship. Of course, there's much we can learn from this book about friendship. but I would like to mention just four today. Now, I actually prepare outlines for those of new here for the first time. The outline is printed in the bulletin. If you would like to follow along, you're welcome to do so. First, a true friend edifies. A true friend edifies. Now, in the Bible, the word edify is often used to refer to building up one's faith and character through the study and application of Scripture. The Bible teaches that Christians should build up, encourage, and support one another. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he said, "Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do." There's a verse in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, that carries a similar idea, which is found in chapter 27, verse 17, which says, this is right here on the PowerPoint, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And the word countenance means face, face of a friend. Obviously, what this verse suggests is that a piece of iron can sharpen another piece of iron. And if you are a regular user of a kitchen knife, and some of you like cooking and use a knife a lot, you would know that your knife or knives need to be sharpened from time to time. And oftentimes, knives are sharpened with another piece of iron. Am I correct? Okay. Because I don't sharpen knives normally, so I would like to make sure that I'm saying the right thing. However, sharpening happens through striking, friction, and with sparks. We think of the iron of a blacksmith hammer working on the sword to make it sharp. And so when Proverbs says a man sharpens the countenance or face of his friend, it means that a man can be used to sharpen, improve, and develop his friend. We shouldn't be afraid of such, and we should expect that true friendship or true sharpening can happen without the occasional use of friction. So a true friend can really sharpen you with words that you may not like to hear. And sometimes it may cause some certain friction. And speaking of friction, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes about a confrontation he had with the Apostle Peter in Antioch. According to Paul, Peter had been eating and associating with Gentile Christians. Christians were not Jews. But when certain Jews arrived from Jerusalem, Peter withdrew and separated himself from the Gentile believers. And you might be asking why, some of you. I know many of you know why, but some of you may not know why. Peter was afraid of criticism from the Jewish Christians from Jerusalem, who insisted that Gentile converts to Christianity should follow Jewish customs and laws such as circumcision and dietary restrictions. So this caused a little bit of confusion and hurt among the Gentile believers, and even led Barnabas, a fellow believer, to join in Peter's hypocrisy. But Paul confronted Peter publicly, rebuking him for his hypocrisy and inconsistency. And so Paul argued that as believers in Christ, there should be no distinction between Jews and Gentiles, and that separating oneself based on ethnic or cultural differences was a denial of the gospel message of unity and equality in Christ. And he was right about that. You might think that Peter would never talk to Paul again for confronting him publicly and sort of shaming him publicly. But years later, when Peter wrote a letter to a Christian living in Asia Minor, in the book of 2 Peter, by the way, he mentioned Paul as beloved brother, Paul. I love this man, so I call him beloved brother Paul, although he confronted me years ago. It showed that Peter took Paul's confrontation against him as a constructive kind of criticism. Though there was some friction between them, but Peter was edified and was sharpened by Paul speaking the truth. When it comes to speaking the truth that edifies or builds up another, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, the Apostle Peter, Paul wrote, "Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." This passage emphasizes the importance of speaking the truth in love and building or edifying or sharpening one another in love so that we can become more like Christ and fulfilling our role as part of the body of Christ. As we edify or sharpen one another, we become more united and mature in our faith, and we reflect the character of Christ more fully. So Proverbs 27, verse 17 reminds us that a true friend edifies, and the goal of edification is to help one another become more like our Lord Jesus by building each other up in love, truth, and faith, and reflecting the character of Christ in our attitudes, actions, and our relationships. So first, we see that the true friendship of true friend edifies or builds up one's faith. Second, a true friend offers honest and sincere advice. Now, this may be similar to point number one, but with a slight a different application. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." This verse emphasizes the value of true friendship and the importance of honest and sincere advice. What this verse is doing is that it compares the joy brought by ointment and perfume. Now, in those days, ointment and perfume are very expensive. When you receive them, you are happy, you are joyful. So this verse is comparing the joy brought by ointment and perfume to the sweetness or pleasantness that comes from a friend's hearty or heartfelt counsel or advice. So just as pleasant fragrances can lift our spirits and bring us joy, so can the wise counsel of a true friend. This verse suggests that a genuine friend will offer advice that comes from the heart, and that this advice will be truly valuable and beneficial. True friends give honest advice because they care about our well-being, spiritual well-being, and want to see us learn from our own sins, failures, and shortcomings. One story from the Bible that illustrates this story is Nathan, Prophet Nathan and David in 2 Samuel verse 12, and some of you know the story very well. David was a king, was the king of Israel, and he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of one of the soldiers named Uriah, the Hittite. When Bathsheba became pregnant, David tried to cover up his sin by having Uriah killed in a battle, and it succeeded. And so he had her wife killed in a battle. David thought that he had gotten away with his sin, but God sent the prophet Nathan to confront him. Nathan did not mince words or speak vaguely when he spoke to David. He told him a story about a rich man who stole a poor man's only lamb. And David became very angry at the injustice of the story. So he told Nathan, this man should pay the guy four times. So Nathan then revealed to David that he was the rich man. You are the man. You are the wicked man in the story. And that he has stolen Uriah's wife and had to kill him. David was devastated by Nathan's words, but he also recognized the truth in them. He repented of his sins and turned back to God. Nathan's honest advice, given in love and concern, helped David to see the gravity of his sin and to turn back to God. This story teaches us that true friends are not afraid to speak the truth, even if it may be difficult or uncomfortable to hear or to say. They do so because they care about us and want to see us grow. We should also strive to be that kind of friend to others, offering honest and sincere advice with love and compassion. By doing so, we can help each other to grow in our faith and character. Overall, this verse in Proverbs 27, verse 9, reminds us that a true friend also offers sincere and honest counsel, which can help us to learn from our sins and failures, and that we should strive to be this kind of friend to others as well. So firstly, we see that a true friend edifies. Second, a true friend offers honest and sincere advice so that we can learn from our sins and failures. Number three, a true friend is reliable at all times. Proverbs 27, verse 10 says, I guess it's in the next slide here. Thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. This verse emphasizes the importance of maintaining strong relationships with our friends and close family members, and the value of having reliable friends in times of trouble. This verse suggests that it is important to remain loyal to our friends and family members during difficult times, and not to turn away from them when they need us the most. They are reliable in times of trouble because they stand by us through thick and thin, offering support and comfort when we need it most. It also implies that it is better to have supportive and reliable neighbors nearby than to rely on distant family members who may not be able to offer immediate help. Now, one story from the Bible that illustrates this truth is from the story of Ruth and Naomi in the book of Ruth. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, had left their home in Bethlehem in Israel and escaped a famine to settle in Moab, which is a foreign land, where their two sons married Moabite women. And one is Ruth and the other one is Orpha. So, you know, they married pagan women, you know, outside of Israel. And however, tragedy struck when Elimelech and both their sons died, leaving Naomi, Ruth, and Orpha as widows. So now three widows, no man. Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem and urged her daughters-in-law, two of them, Ruth and Orpah, to stay in Moab and remarry. Orpah eventually decided to stay in Moab, but Ruth refused to leave Naomi's side. So she famously declared, "For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Or I read from another version, the translation says, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth's loyalty, reliability as a friend to Naomi was unwavering. She left her homeland and family to accompany Naomi, her mother-in-law, on her journey, even though it meant starting over in a new place where she was a foreigner. When they returned to Bethlehem, Ruth worked hard to provide for Naomi and herself by gleaning in the fields. And eventually she caught the eye of Boaz, a wealthy landowner, also a relative of Naomi's family. Boaz showed kindness to Ruth and eventually married her, securing their future and providing for Naomi as well. She became the great-grandmother of King David. That is Ruth. Ruth's friendship with Naomi teaches us that the importance of being reliable and loyal to our friends, even in times of difficulty and uncertainty. Overall, Proverbs 27, verse 10 reminds us that a true friend is reliable at all times. By standing by your friends in a time of need, we show them the love and compassion of Christ and strengthen our bond of friendship. So first we see a true friend edifies. Second, a true friend offers honest and sincere advice. Third, a true friend is reliable at all times, sharing the love and compassion of Christ and strengthen the bond in the friendship. Fourth, a true friend will remain with you. Proverbs 17:17, which is our memory verse today, for today, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, the word adversity can also mean various forms of distress and evil or affliction. This verse emphasizes the importance of true friendship that lasts through all circumstances. That's similar to what we learned in point number 3, but I will give a different application here. Not just during good times, but during difficult times. A true friend is someone who loves you unconditionally and supports you no matter what challenges or trials you may face. Speaking of friendship that lasts through all circumstances, or friendship that lasts, or friends who love you unconditionally and supports you no matter what challenges or trials you may face, we cannot fail to mention the friendship of David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan were two figures, biblical figures, who became close friends, despite being from different backgrounds. David was a shepherd boy from Bethlehem, who was chosen by God to become the future king of Israel, while Jonathan was a son of King Saul, King Saul was jealous of David's popularity and success and wanted to kill him for many times. And despite the obstacles in their have, David and Jonathan form a deep and lasting friendship based on mutual respect and loyalty. They made a covenant of friendship with each other, promising to support and protect each other no matter what. The friendship was put to the test when King Saul, Jonathan's father, viewed David as a threat to his reign and sought to have him killed. Jonathan, however, remained loyal to David and helped him to escape from Saul's grasp. And the story of David and Jonathan is a powerful example of the kind of deep and enduring friendship that it can exist between the two people who are committed to each other. He also demonstrates the importance of loyalty, trust, and mutual respect in any true friendship. In the New Testament, Jesus also emphasizes the true friendship, saying in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus is referring to himself. And this verse in John emphasizes the sacrificial nature of true friendship, which involves being willing to make personal sacrifices for the sake of those who care about, who we take care about. Overall, this verse in Proverbs 17:17 encourages us to value and cherish true friendship that are built upon love, loyalty, support, even in the face of difficult times. So first we see that true friend edifies or builds up. We also see that a true friend offers honest and sincere advice so that we may learn from our shortcomings and failures. Third, we also see that a true friend is reliable at all times, even in the worst times, sharing love and compassion. Fourth, we also see that a true friend will remain with you and be willing to make personal sacrifices for you. Before I end, I want us to remember that Jesus Christ is the model of friendship, ultimate model of a friendship. And all of these examples of friendship in the Bible are meant to point us back to Jesus, who is our ultimate friend. Jesus said, as I quoted this verse just now, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." In the same chapter, down in verse 15, of chapter 15 of John, our Lord also said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Jesus is the ultimate example of friendship because he demonstrated compassion, forgiveness, loyalty, humility, and selflessness. He showed compassion to those who were hurting and in need, and he forgave those who wronged him. He remained loyal to his disciples, his friends, even in the face of persecution and danger. He taught them to be humble and to serve others. Most importantly, he sacrificed himself on the cross as the ultimate act of selflessness and love for his friends. And for those of you who are still outside of God's kingdom, Christ can be your friend too. As all you need to do is to repent of your sin of unbelief, Jesus, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, and believe that he redeemed you by his blood and died on the cross for your sin and rose again on the third day. As for the rest of us who are already saved, We need to remember that true friendship is not just about having fun or enjoying each other's company, though it may not be wrong in themselves. But most importantly, it is about helping each other grow and to become more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for your word. Once again, thou hast reminded us that thou art our true friend and example of friendship. Thou hast reminded us that a true friend edifies, a true friend builds up one another, a true friend offers honest and sincere advice, a true friend is reliable at all times, a true friend will remain with us until the end. May you help us to be such friends to other people around us. At the same time, we want to pray for all those who are still outside of your kingdom. Father, I pray that thou will help them to receive thee as the Lord and personal Savior, so that you may be their friend as well. I pray that all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, let us rise as we sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Let us rise as we sing.